Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
Good morning. My name is Michael Van Tol. This is the Michael Van Tol Show. We appreciate you jumping on and listening this morning. The Michael Van Tol Show is brought to you in part by Benjamin Brothers Realty and the Worry Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. The Michael Van Tol Show is an inspirational community program made in cooperation with Community Highlights with my good friend, Missionary Hattie Humphrey. All right, the Sunday morning team is here. Let's go down the list. Henrietta Ivey, our political analyst, home care advocate. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the amazing Sunday morning team, and good morning to everyone in the city of Detroit.
Kimberly Batchelor Davis is here. She's our lifestyle editor. She's an author, speaker, podcaster. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Good morning, Missionary. And hello, Detroit. And Happy New Year. I missed you guys last week.
We did. We missed you, too. And that young preacher from the International Police and Fires Chaplains Association and a musician, chaplain, Stephen Cathy. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Mike. Good morning to the fabulous Missionary. Good morning to to our amazing Sunday morning team. And good morning to Detroit. God bless you all today.
God bless you. Great to have you guys on. Hopefully, Missionary Hattie Humphrey will get a chance to jump on this morning. I know she's at 94, still got that hectic schedule. So we hope she get a chance to jump on the line. I know a number of us are headed out to services, including myself this morning, so we're going to keep us on track. I can't go over. Kimberly, too. Kimberly's headed out to services.
Yes.
I am. And if I'm late, I'm telling you, it's going to I can't be late.
We're going to be in trouble.
You know it.
Right.
You know, and I already texted the pastor and told him that I'll be there, so you know. Can't do that today. Anyway, we've got the latest in news, weather, commentary, some important topics we want to talk about this morning, and I got a little older this week. On January 4th, I turned a little bit older had a birthday, and I'm ready to settle down and get back to work now after
Happy belated birthday, Michael.
Great. I went to a couple places after a three day celebration. It's time to get back to work and get moving. All right. Songster. This is a gospel singer, minister, Randall Smith. Good morning, sir.
Hey, man, good morning.
Great to hear you on the line with us this morning as part of the Sunday morning team. We're going to take a station break. When we come back, we got the latest in news and weather commentary for the next hour right here on the Michael Van Tol Show. Thanks for listening in. We'll be right back.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can out-service me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
It's a member of the Realty.
We find them and fix them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them drippin' with style, got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you wanna do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth. It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial help. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosrealty@gmail.com.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120.
All right, the showdown in the news today, the showdown for the speaker's position in Congress is over. On his 15th attempt to get voted in, Kevin McCarthy finally agreed to give almost every concession he had to the far right, a high cost to pay for the speakership position, which I believe is also a weakened position, and I don't think he's going to last too long. Damar Hamlin, the football player from Buffalo Bills, is doing much better. He's talking, breathing on his own, and it looks like the prayers of so many people were effective, and he is on the road to recovery. Great news there. That was touch and go. That was scary. That was scary. Mega Millions is expected to top $1.1 billion after no one won last night. So here we go again. Somebody or some people are going to, their life is going to change in a within the next couple of days. For the next drawing of Mega Millions, I did get my ticket, and it's not the big winner, as I was hoping. The Lions play tonight in prime time Sunday Night Football on NBC. Now, this is important because the Lions could make the playoffs. I mean, not only do they have to win, but there's a, there's about three or four different scenarios out here. And they all include Green Bay. So Green Bay's got to lose, too. But tonight is the big game. They're expecting it to be one of the highest-rated football games in history tonight. And Detroit is right in the middle of it. We're going to be sitting down. We're already going to have a little pizza party here at the house for the game at tonight at 8:20. On NBC, Channel 4 in Detroit. Iran continues to execute people who protested the treatment, the violent treatment of women in Iran this fall. Yesterday, a volunteer children's coach and a karate teacher were hanged. 517 what? Protesters have been killed during the protests, 20,000 arrested. I wish we could just end that regime in Iran. How brutal. And you can't, you're so weak, you can't just take somebody protesting against you. There's absolutely a lack of free speech in Iran. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, the United States used to go in and try to overthrow places. That doesn't always work. But the people in Iran are going to have to fight for their freedom. That brutal prehistoric regime in Iran is executing regular people that just go out to protest. How are you going to just kill people like that and hang them? This story really, really bothered me. What a brutal regime. Brutal. They've got to change the leaders, because the people in Iran don't want that type of leadership. They don't want that old style. The leaders in Iran are something out of ancient history. Anyway, a Northwest Detroit mother was killed in a senseless and brazen attack, a robbery at a party store on Grand River in Detroit last week. I understand one of her kids went to Bates Academy. They're grown now. But the husband, he looked just distraught and heartbroken. I watched the video on the news the other day, and this young man just walked up to her, shot her point blank, and then as she lay dying on the ground, he rifled through her belongings. Tracy Alexander Golden. Tracy Golden. The services are Friday, January 13th. I'll be attending at the Cathedral of the Most Blessed Sacrament Friday morning. It's so heartbreaking. And I know there are other stories like this, and we were talking about it right before we went live this morning. Henrietta, you talked about a six-year-old that shot their teacher. There was at least one or two more that you brought up. That wasn't in Detroit, but it's all over this country. It's all over this country. And I was saying that we do need some more conflict resolution needs to be at the top of the list in schools, because if you notice, first sign of a disagreement, young people, teens, preteens now, grown people, the first thing they do is go reach for a gun. I remember I was at a club one back in the day, and there was somebody, they got put out the club, and he shouted out, "I got something for you. I got something for you. Wait here, I'll be right back." And me and half the place dashed out of there. One thing about Detroit, if somebody says, I'm going to come back for you, believe them. They will. The thing about people just go straight to getting a gun. Henrietta, what were you saying about there's a couple of cases you brought up?
There were an incident in Detroit where a friend of mine called me, and she said, "Hey, had you heard about the 15-year-old girl that was killed?" I was like, "No, because I'm not trying to stay away from such tragedies with all that's going on in the world. I'm just not mentally equipped to hear that every day. I mean, you first thing to come on the news is somebody
that's a
really face-breaking news, always in Detroit." And when she told me that was the daughter of one of the neighbor's sons, I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "Well, the girl had got into some word confrontation just before school let out for the break, and the other 15-year-old came at 1 o'clock in the morning while her cousin and a couple other friends were up, you know, the weekend. They having a good time, you know, enjoying their school break, and these other teens who she had the confrontation with at 1 o'clock in the morning decide to drive by the house and shoot it up. And she was hit. She was killed. Her cousin was injured, but she survived. And what bothered me was, first of all, where was the parents at? And why are you out at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning?
Driving, walking,
whatever you got there to do it, number one. Number two, how did you get the gun? So when I hear stories like that, it breaks my heart, number one, because these are children. They don't know how drastic their lives are going to change. Number
yep.
two, where's the accountability of these parents who are supposed to be raising these children? Now, I give two scenarios, that one is good and one is bad. One could be maybe the parents may have been working. It could have been a working class family, or a mom or a single dad who out gave some rules of their teenagers. This is what you do when I'm gone. You don't leave the house. Woo, woo, woo. And I'm going to work, expecting for this teenager to follow the order. Of course, it didn't happen. Or another scenario, number two, it could have been a parent or some guardian. You know what? Go get them. Catch them off guard. Antagonizing and encouraging the reaction of what could have happened in school before they let out. So with all that being said, I feel, number one, we definitely need some gun control. I'm talking about, you know, and incorporating that type of legislation, that responsibility and accountability to that gun control law. Because when I can say this, and I say it all the time, I raised four teenagers, four adults, and they're grown, you know, four children. I could work. I could go to school. My kids knew not to test me, and don't think they didn't, because they did, but never to that degree, because the accountability for myself, I was going to be accountable for my child, which means I have to raise that child in a way I want them to go. In regards of my business schedule, my school, or whatever, trying to provide, there is a accountability and a responsibility to every parent to raise your child in the way you want them to go. Now, however, it don't always work out that way, but a greater percentage of the time it will. What I'm seeing today is a lot of non-accountability and irresponsibility on behalf of these parents. They're making up reasons why their child is this, and the moment your child hit a courtroom, you want to scream and cry, and the judge throw lights at them, you passing out. Why are you passing out and giving all that energy now? You should have known. Most of the time, I can't say all of the time, the activity of your child, that takes monitoring your child, even in your own busy schedule. We have such a lack of that going on now that this is the end result. We're putting our children in the hands of this world, and it ain't looking good for our generations to come. So I feel like young man that did the killing to the young lady who came out of the store, such a tragedy. What was the purpose in that? Because when they find you, you are going to prison for the rest of your life. You have devastated a family for the rest of their life. You have devastated coworkers, neighbors, community for the rest of our lives. This is not something I like to wake up to every morning. I want to wake up sometimes.
The husband said that she would have, if he would have just went up and axe or taken the keys from her, she would have gladly given it to him. She said, he said, John Golden, he said, it was a 2018 Dodge Journey. She would have just given him the keys to that. It wasn't even worth anything that he did like that. And he is just devastated, of course, right now. I passed by the store the other, this weekend, and they had a, now they've got a security guard, a car out there with a flashing light, a day late, a dollar short for this family. But and then Henrietta, this happens all the time, and you can't, you know, if we had to deal with every shooting, we would be in a straitjacket. You know,
because you're absolutely right. We really would be. It's mentally, it's mentally distraughting. You wake up into this fog and this feeling of what's gonna happen next. I don't think any one of us, not the Sunday morning team, not the people of Detroit, not the citizens of the state of Michigan, nobody in this country wants to continue to wake up and hear somebody's been murdered. The father who was shot in his face last night. I knew them. I didn't hang with them, but I saw the crowd. I'm like, well, I know who these people are. You knock on somebody's door and you kill them in front of their children. Whatever transpired, it couldn't have been resolved with a conversation later when everybody cooled off. You had to come back and kill this man and devastate a family and a community again?
Yes,
something has to change.
And that moment of anger will change so many people, including the killer, for the rest of their lives. Kimberly, go right ahead, Kimberly.
So I just want to piggyback off of what Henrietta and you were talking about, Michael. I have a 14 and a 10-year-old son. And one of the conversations that we've had, fortunately, because as you said, it's every day, gun violence. And at school, it used to be school was a safe place. You could go to school. Mm-hmm. It was fine. Now we have mass shooters. We still have the Ethan Crumbly trial that's going on. And I remember talking to my sons, and my oldest son said, Mom, people want to be famous. And I looked at him strangely, and I thought, but that's not fame. But then listening to him, he said, but Mom, you're all over social media. Everybody talks about you. Everybody knows your name. And so for many of these kids who are struggling with whatever it is, whether it's family issues, abuse, depression, anxiety, and I have a feel-good for you, and we'll talk real quick about anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, they are resorting to a gun. And you're right, Henrietta. That is the first thing that they go for. Oh, I got something for you. You're right, Michael. When we hear that in the city, we're like, it's time to go. Whatever you got, get yourself and let's go. We don't have time because we don't know what happened. There was a few years ago, you remember the security guard at the nightclub? The guy said that to him, and everybody brushed it off, and he came back and he shot that guy, and it turned out that guy was, not that anyone that's killed is not beloved, but he was beloved, and he was very popular, and a lot of people knew him, and people said, this is senseless. But when are we going to wake up?
The mother, when they say they're coming back. At the club, if they say they're coming back. Let me just take a minute before your feel-good story, Kimberly. Let's welcome our Sunday morning team member, Evangelist Christy Laster Andrews, Evangelist, Prophetess, Songstress, Minister. Good morning, Evangelist.
Good morning. It's so great to hear your voices this morning. Good morning to our listening audience.
And the whole team is here this morning, so we are live and in good shape this morning. Okay, we ready for a feel-good story. We had some sad news since the news was on this morning, but help us out. Help us out, sister, Chaplain says.
A woman who struggled with depression found a way, actually more than 300 ways, to improve her mental health by doing something new every day for a year. Jess Mail says she's now the happiest she's been in a decade after trying new things for 365 days, including a try at hot yoga and beekeeping. During the pandemic, the 34-year-old suffered from anxiety and depression, but the lockdown made her realize that she was depending upon her routine as an insurance to keep her growing. She says, I feel pretty emotional about it, to be honest, said the resident of Red Hill. I can't believe it. So I'm going to give you the list of things that she tried. She said she got Instagram. These are very simple. She watched E.T., the movie, made a lampshade, grew a plant from a seed, bled a radiator. She tried origami. She went to hot yoga. She dyed her hair pink. She did a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle by herself. She made muffins. She visited an aircraft hangar. She used the scary gym equipment. She got a henna tattoo. She watched a movie called The Great Escape. She learned how to tie various types of knots. Y'all will laugh, but for those of us that wear scarves, that can be a challenge. She learned to shuffle cards. She went to a life drawing class. She completed a paint by numbers. She learned how to pick a lock. She hung a picture on a wall. She learned to sew a button. She learned some British sign language. She tried Guinness. She joined a community volunteer group. She ate using chapstick. She attended a first aid course.
Wow.
She had an espresso martini, which those are very good if you've never had one. She played chess for the first time. She went to the Tate Modern Museum, which is in Britain, which is in England. She changed a car wheel and helped too. She played golf. She made pizza from scratch. She whittled some wood. She learned a simple tap routine. She tried to whistle with her fingers. She visited a Mormon temple. She tried to start a fire without matches and failed. She went on her first solo trip. She went to Belfast in Northern Ireland for the first time. She made butternut squash soup, which is really good if you've never had it. She tried knitting. She drove a van. She went paddleboarding. She upcycled an old stool. She visited St. Paul's Cathedral. She attempted to learn how to play the ukulele. She was not successful and gave up, but she attempted it. She watched a foreign film without subtitles. She fed a tourist. She went on a organized walk. She went to a butterfly house. She tried a local dish, pierogi. She went on an e-scooter. She went to a poetry reading session. I'm not even reading all of them. It's a lot. She tried bubble tea and Zumba.
I'm sure.
She learned how to do a magic trick. She used a bidet. She tried teeth whitening strips. She sat on someone's shoulders. She tried a gooseberry. She made her own protein bar. She went to an outdoor cinema screening. She watched Casablanca, which is one of my favorite movies, for the first time. She went to a hot air balloon show. She went to puppy yoga. I'm like, oh, I've never been to puppy yoga. She said she swam in the sea during a storm. She had a birds of prey experience afternoon, and I'm going to give you a couple of it. She said she finally worked out how to screencast from her phone to the TV. I don't know how many people know how to do that. She washed and painted along to a joy of painting with Bob Ross. She drove a Tesla. She ran up a downwards escalator. So an escalator that's going down, she ran up it. She went to a sketch comedy show, an ice hockey match. She snapped the wishbone. She tried curling. She streaked, which means she ran naked. She went line dancing, and she went speed dating. And last, she caught a grape in her mouth. I gave you all those examples because she tried something new. And one of the things that we talk about in the word, you know, the word talks about the renewing of your mind in reading and studying the Bible. And many times when we get stagnant and we don't do things, like she talked about early in the article, the routine of it all, it started to make her anxious. And so she had to do new things. So it doesn't have to be, well, I got to learn a language. I need to take a trip around the world. It can be as simple as, I'm going to go to a comedy show, or I'm going to see a movie on the big screen that I've never seen before and experience what that is and have joy. Because as you guys said, there is too much sadness going on in the world.
Yes, it is. Wow, that was interesting. She has a lot. She's got time to do it. That was a lot, but she is a different person, I'm sure, now after doing all that. She's not the same, I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Thanks for sharing that with us. Chaplain Kathy?
Amen. That was a tremendous feel-good story, as always. Amen. God bless you all today that's online. I just wanted to share with everyone today, if God is telling you to do something through somebody else, you better listen. You better listen. Whatever God is telling you to do, anything that stands for good represents God. If somebody telling you to do something right, do what's right. Because it's God talking to man through man so that we can all understand that he's not a boogeyman. Can I get a little help on here this morning now?
Amen. Amen.
So we need to listen. We call it our conscience. Our conscious mind tell us not to do something. We go do the opposite. Listen to God. And if we allow God to lead us, he will lead us all the way, as the song say, from earth to glory. So just let Jesus. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him truthfully be your guide. Let him truthfully be your guide. A lot of the things that we're seeing now today, we're understanding them now because we are adults. But there was a lot of things going on when we were younger. So now that we have gotten older and we start to see life for what life has to offer and present to us as grown folks, I just want to encourage you and tell you, listen to God. Anytime somebody tells you something good, it's from God. God bless you all today.
Thank you, Chaplain, for those positive, helpful words there. Evangelist Christy Laster.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you guys for the feel-good story. Just about the 365 days doing something different. A lot of the things that you named, they were very small things that you could do right in the comfort of your own home. I think I like that idea, just trying new things. It does make you feel good, especially if you do something like try to play a ukulele and you ultimately fail at it. But it's the funny part of just trying. That is really cute. And, yeah, I agree with Chaplin. If you know something positive to do, you told something good to do, then put forth the effort. I was thinking about this morning really, really quick. Hebrews 11:1, simple scripture that we all know. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I just want to encourage people to have faith. I know there is so much going on in the world, and I was a little bit late this morning, and I was hearing the news update of all of the things that are happening in the world, and I watch the news sometimes, and then I hear of things through social media of what's happening in the city of Detroit and around us, the school shootings that just happened this week, and so it's really unnerving. It's just uncomfortable, especially when you have family members that are in school or, you know, just going out yourself. But the scripture just came to me. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we may not see things the way that we want to see them, but we have to have faith in God. Even in our personal actions, our personal lives, and our goals that we have for our personal lives, whether it just be for 2023 or your 3 to 5 year goals or your 1 year goal, whatever it may be, have faith and know that whatever you set your mind to, you can do it. I've heard some phenomenal things that have been done through our team here, things that you set out to do in your personal careers and your personal lives, and you've accomplished them. But there's more in you to do. So have faith and know that you can do it. Chaplin talked about when you hear the voice of God or something good to do, then do it. We know that Abel, he offered a more perfect, excellent sacrifice unto God. He did it by faith. Abraham left his family and went into a far country. He did it by faith. Noah built a whole ark when it had never rained. He did it by faith. So sometimes our faith causes us to do things that are unconventional. But just know that God is on your side, and you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you.
I'm glad you said that, Evangelist. And also, faith can make you, you know, how many people must have been talking about Noah? Look at that idiot.
Oh, they called him crazy. They thought he was crazy.
Ain't even a puddle around here. You know, can you imagine?
Exactly. Where you said it, a puddle.
And when you step out on faith, that's what happens. That's one of the things that happens. I think that's why a lot of people don't want to step out on faith. I tell you this, I could not do any of the things that I've done in my life without faith. And I have been in those situations where, you know, you take a step and it's like, now people who only function on what they see and feel and hear, they don't understand. Because yes, they think you're crazy, and they're like, "Why are you doing that? That don't make no sense," you know. But it's that faith, and we know that once you take a step, and we know that God helps you from there, because that's how He operates. That's where the power comes from. Power, faith.
That's
let
right.
me stop because I, there's some other. Let me let somebody
else. Testify, Michael. Testify, because you are.
Amen. Let me get Minister Smith on. Minister Smith, you got some words to share with us this morning, sir?
Don't try to throw me in there, Mike. You on your own today, bro.
No. I just, you know, you are a minister, and I'm not. So, you know, tell us something edifying this morning, sir.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think that in this day and hour, that it's time to really seek the Lord like never before. Because this is revelation that's going on. And it's not going to get any better. And so at the end of the day, it troubles me as a senior pastor that I have to deal with this kind of thing. It's not easy. And it's prayer time. As I heard Dr. Lassiter and Prophetess Kim B. Davis and her grace, all these great women.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, I went out there too far. And it's not going to get any better. And the men, I'm going to mess up. Kathy, don't say amen. The men have turned from God. Now I'm going to mess up, so don't nobody judge me. But so many people have been celebrating leaving their spouses. And as I heard old senior tell me, God is
angry at the wicked and evil. They got divorce parties now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They'll lift up their eyes in hell. God said what I said in stone. Don't put your hands on it. But people get it. So I stopped talking about it. One individual told me, "But you wrong, Pastor." No, I'm not wrong. You talk to the Lord about it. Now, if you made a commitment, here's what my a driver told me. He said, there are three contracts. You and God, her and God, and God and you all. But one of you all decided to break it. Will be unto you. It's praying time, people. I can't say it enough. It's praying time. And let me say, Sister Kim and Lady Lassiter, I admire you, young women, for sticking with your families. Van Tool, I'm godly proud of you, my brother, for sticking and staying. The Lord will not let me, he won't give me a break about praying for marriages and relationships. He even had me to go out a little further and say, pray for those that walked away from their marriages, that they will hurry up and get back to where they're supposed to be. I'm going to get my feet. I'm sorry.
It sounds like it may be your calling. You know, we all have our, ministries, and there's we have all
but
of our
I'm not gonna leave you out.
And that may be
I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get you, great apostle. I'm gonna call you on the 101 and get with you on that one, okay?
Yeah,
I'm gonna get a piece of you on that.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a piece of you on that.
Thank you, Minister Smith. Kimberly, what's the weather like today and the rest of this week?
So right now it's cloudy outside. It's 30 degrees. Our high today is supposed to be 37 with a low of 26, and it will remain mostly cloudy today. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies will return with a high of 40 and a low of 29. On Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 40 and a low of 28. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy again with a high of 39 and a low of 30. On Thursday, we'll have rain showers with a high of 38 and a low of 32. And on Friday, rain to rain snow later on in the day. So rain will change over into snow later on Friday with a high of 37 and a low of 24.
And on Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 33 and a low of 25. And that's the weather.
Great. And it's still good weather for us. It's still good.
Yes.
Yes, we have nothing to complain about here in Southeast Michigan. Nothing at all. I'm loving it because right now we should be in the middle of a deep freeze in single digits.
Please don't bring it up.
Don't
conjure
it,
right?
Okay, okay. And we wouldn't get out of it till sometime at the end of February. I just know that. So I appreciate it. I'm one of those people. I know how bad winters can be, and I'm out there in the summertime. I spend most of it, when I'm home in the summertime, most likely I'll be outside somewhere, the garage, the backyard, front yard, washing the car, whatever. I'll be outside, and I enjoy the outdoors. I enjoy being outside. Yes. One thing I did want to make a comment on is the Kevin McCarthy situation in Washington. A lot of people don't understand what's going on, and that is there's a leader for the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and for the first time in a while, the Republicans, the majority in the House of Representatives, so they are picking their leader. It's just strange that the Republican Party is so fractured. It's so divided. Couldn't even pick a speaker. They had to vote 15 times in the past week. 15 times it took them to get to vote for a leader. And this weak leader called Kevin McCarthy, he gave away all his concessions, all the power he had. There was a group of 20 far right wing conservative Republicans that demanded things from him in order for them to vote for him. And this weakling gave into almost all of their demands. To me, that's the failure of a leader already. He's already failed as a leader. You don't give away all your concessions. A leader, you have to negotiate. This weak Trumpster gave away everything to those far-right, crazy MAGA Republicans. And it now, when he starts on Monday, one person can stand up and say, I don't want you to be speaker. Let's have another vote to vote you out. That's how a weakened position he's put himself in. And I tell you what, the Democrats are not going to vote for none of those things. So, unfortunately, it looks like we're going to have some gridlock in Washington that we've never seen before. Why did he give away all his power to 20 right-wing MAGA Republicans in our Congress?
It's a layup.
Yes,
he
wanted it so bad. And you know, here we go with this spiritual lesson. Here we go. I'm trying not to preach, but it's coming on here. How are you gonna give away all that stuff and be to 20 people? That's somebody that will do anything they could to get in power. Anything. When you start doing anything for a position, then something is wrong. That you have to throw everything away, all your principles, all that you believe in, everything that you're about, everything that you've been taught, and you throw that away just because you want to be a leader, just because you want that husband, just because you want that girl, just because you want that car, just because you want that position. Stab people in the back, to do whatever is necessary just so that you can say, I'm in charge, this is mine, I'm the man, you're coming down. You're coming down real hard. You're going to fall a long way. And Kevin McCarthy is headed
Come on.
House divided cannot stand.
You are testifying mm-mm. this morning, brother. You are. I'm feeling this. It's because you have said something. It's spiritual.
Yeah.
It's so spiritual.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yep.
You know how many politicians have agreed to stuff in the back room? Henrietta, you know how many of these
mm-hmm.
politicians,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just in Detroit, they have a private conversation
yep.
at the country club
mm-hmm.
or
called back door.
Mm-hmm. Back door. You know, they
yep.
used to say was those smoky cigar back rooms. They don't do that too
yep.
much no more.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's
they
now
still
it's
exist.
At now it's at the restaurant. It's at that steak place. It's at you know, it's at
yes.
Prime. It's at Amarillo's. It's at Maggiano's.
You know?
Yeah. It's at it's
what's
at
that
Adriano's.
You telling too much.
Okay. Okay. All right. I know I'm gonna get in trouble. Because that's where they...
So here, I have a scripture.
That's where they hand them the envelope with the money, and mm-hmm. and then they shake hands, and then the next day they say they're running for city council. Let me stop right there.
Yeah, you're on
so
the way.
Read
you,
a scripture
you
real
down,
yeah, read some scripture before, because I may run for city council one day, and I don't want they...
You don't want to mess up the chances.
Right.
You know, hey, but you know, it could, like, let's say this, it could help you more so, because you got a lot of people who still stand on the word, and it's more of us mm-hmm. out there that's not seen than it is those who's going up, who are accepting the spiritual principalities of evil. So if you mm-hmm. have to say it off your heart, now say it. Because it is what it is. You didn't mention no names. You didn't mention no offices. You just said what you said, and you let it lay like that. Because trust me, there are people who want to hear the truth. And speaking the truth is better than selling for a lie.
Amen. Hosea 8:4 says, they made kings, but not through me. They set up princes,
amen.
But I knew it not. With their silver and gold, they made idols for their own destruction.
I like that.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. I know Bishop Kathy got his hand up, Michael. You better call him.
Don't let him do it.
There it is. I wouldn't bother nobody this time. I was enjoying the ride this time.
I read the scripture the other day about, you know,
you did what?
When Jesus was in the desert. Stop it. When Jesus was in the desert, the Satan even said, I will give you all this, didn't he? Didn't he say
mm-hmm.
that?
Tell us what it said, Michael.
I don't know where all the scriptures is all the time. But I did remember. I recalled that one that time. You know, but you know, he also said he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. So why do we have to go and try to wheel and deal some backroom stuff to get power when it says it right there? I don't even know what that scripture is, to be honest. I don't know.
I'm going to tell you this. I think everybody ought to remember what the Word of God says. And it says, all power, both in
amen.
Heaven and on earth,
amen.
Is in
yes,
my
right.
hand. That was Jesus.
That's right.
So I don't
mm-hmm.
care. I don't care. It's one thing for you to think you got power. But if all power is in Jesus' hand, if you are not serving Jesus and his purpose and being an example of what he
mm-hmm.
represents, then I don't care how much mm-hmm. power you got, you are still powerless.
Well, that's
because
right.
You look at my man. He go in, but guess he's saying, I'm going to transfer all of this power and authority that I have over to these 20 people. So that lets you know,
mm-hmm.
no matter how much power he thought he had, he was powerless against them 20.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I wish I had a piece of hair.
We're coming up on 9:49. I know because some of us are heading out, and of course, Minister Evangelist Christy Laster, she's got to be ready. I'm headed out this morning, and I know many of you are. All I know is that I've been talking about Kevin McCarthy. It's the mm-hmm. most prominent case right now. We even had a pastor go to jail in Detroit. In the past year or so. Okay? This corruption is real. And I think
it is.
Don't beat up on me now, because I may be wrong, but I think it's in Second Peter. It says is that Second Peter? I think so. I think it's 2 Peter, verse 19. It says, they promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves to corruption. For whatever to that, he is enslaved. Let me mm-hmm. sit down. Let me sit down.
You nailed it.
Evangelist Christy. But I believe it's 2 Peter. If you can just verify that with me, chapter 2, verse 19. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved.
Let me say this one little piece to you, and I cannot say it better than this song. I can't say it better than this song. Run on just a little while longer. Run on just a little while longer. Yeah, you running, man. You running. I'm talking about you running, man.
I did not mention
what's happening with some things that are going on in the 12th Congressional District.
And then we'll wrap it up with that, Henrietta. Go ahead.
So yesterday was the 12th Congressional District Chairperson's meeting. So what's going on with that is there are three candidates running to be the Democratic Chair for the 12th Congressional District. As we all know, Rashida Tlaib is our congressional leader in Washington. And then we have our congressional caucus here in the state of Michigan that represents the 12th District. Yesterday I was able to attend the meeting as one of the precinct delegates. And I'm going to get into something that I find a little just kind of unsettling for me, but I want to just give the information. So we have three candidates running. We have Ken Whitaker running to be the chairperson. We have Judy Neal running to be the chairperson. And then we have Arthur Warren out of Westland who's running to be the chairperson. These are three people that threw their hat into the race. These are going to be the three candidates, if not any more, pop up on the ballot for the February 11th Democratic convention that's going to be happening down at the Huntington Building in February. So those are the three candidates that I know of that's in the race for the chair seat for the 12th Congressional District. So if you are a Democratic member, or if you're not, you can still sign up for free and be able to attend this congressional meeting in February to vote for who you want to represent in the 12th district if you are a citizen or constituent in that district. Also, Mary Kavanaugh, who was elected senator for the 6th district for District 1, I know in my district, I think there's other districts she's representing as well, but I know in District 1, which is my district, she is the new senator. She's having a swearing in January the 15th. It's going to be administered by our new appointed Justice Karen Bolden Harris. And I'll be hearing Kyra Harris Bolden. Let me get this correct. I don't want this to go across the airwaves. I've mispronounced our honorable judge's lawyer's name. So we're going to be doing that. If anyone wants to attend, if you live in the 6th Senate District, please, I'm going to send some information on my email, on my Facebook page. If you are part of this district, please sign up, come and attend the swearing in. Her message is she wants everyone in her district to come in and win together and be a part of this swearing in. So she's inviting precinct delegates and community alike to come and be part of the swearing in. And let me just say this one little thing, and I know we got to go. What I find, when I heard all the candidates speaking, there was one candidate that stood out, and she stood out because her tenacity and her work, and every time she spoke, it was always about community. She never once really talked about her accolades and what she did to push her agenda through, but she stuck to the point of making sure that community is always involved in the process. When you have a person who's always about community, that's the leader you want. The other, everybody, they all had good speaking points. They all spoke about why they felt they would be the better person, and they all were good, but I have to say, I have to key in on community and change and including people in the process. And what I did agree with her was, you can't be selective and have these cliques continuing to be part of these processes representing a whole community. That's not fair to the ones who didn't know that meeting was going on. So I'm like, okay, how do we change that? So we talk about leadership. I want everyone to think about, when you're picking a leader for the 12th district, please pick somebody who's going to be for the people, period, point blank. I get it, there's hard work on everybody who do what they do, but if you're going to pick people on a sim basis or who you want to be in your circle, as opposed to including the whole community, because you get a better feedback when everybody is involved, I urge people, start picking our leadership, and that ties into what's going on in Washington as well. As you can see, we had a person give up their powers for temporary glory.
Yep.
We have got to find a way to include everybody when we talk about making someone represent us or be the leadership that we feel is going to make our community better or make our nation better. And I say that, and I'll end it with that.
And, you know, you're right, Henrietta. And one thing that Kevin McCarthy just ignored were the 200 people that were voting for him anyway. And he turned around and gave all of the power to the 20 people versus the 200. And that is going to come back to haunt him Monday morning. As soon as they get to work, it's going to come back. And I predict he won't last too long. Listen, Sunday morning team, this has been edifying. It's been educational, and it's been inspiring. Thank you. What a wonderful conversation we had this morning. All I know is that the brightest and best on Sunday mornings are right here on the Sunday morning team. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great, great day today.
Have a great day, everyone. Bless everyone.
Have
a
great
day.
You've been listening to The Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120. Today's program was produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, experts in small business support services. Call 248-516-8300 to start your business today. The Michael Van Tool Show can be heard every Sunday morning at 7:30 on the Detroit Praise Network. Thank you for listening.